If you've got your Bible, let's take our reading from Peter's second letter to the churches, 2 Peter in the New Testament, reading from chapter 1, from verse 1 to verse 11, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need. Do you remember lavish? When Mandy was talking about lavish, lavish, lavish. So these people have taken some pee into my notes. His divine power has lavished upon us, has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him, who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through this, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort. Note that. That's a repetition of the same phrase in verse 5. Make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If just stopping at the reading, I think we've had a good service, because the reading is so simple and so rich that it requires no elaboration. But just to tie it up with what we've been doing over the past 4 to 6 weeks, you've been exploring the basis of our faith in Christ Jesus and how it relates to partnership or membership in a local church. Reverend Neville made it clear that the Christian faith is all about the gospel. The gospel as preached by Jesus and handed over to the apostles. And as we engage with the gospel, our role as members of a church is to make sure that this gospel is spread, not just within the four walls of a local church, but in our community. Today, I want us to look at our Christian journey, making progress in our Christian journey. How do we x-ray, or what's the timeline of a Christian's journey, and how can I begin this journey, and how can I make progress in it? And in making progress, how does it relate to the local church? Can I start by saying that I think it was on the 17th of September, when Reverend Neville was preaching, he said that for you to be able to be an effective disciple, you have to grow in your personal work with God. So that serves as a background to what we will be sharing this morning. We took our text from 2 Peter, and the book of Peter is the second letter that he wrote to churches in the Asian Minor, that's around the places we refer to as Eastern Europe today. And why did he have to write this letter towards the tail end of his life? It was because in his first letter, he had addressed the issues about persecution against believers at that point in time. But he noticed that there were people who were bringing in false doctrines, teaching that Jesus did not come in the flesh, and saying that there are other ways you can actually know God, not necessarily through Jesus. So Peter wrote this second letter to help the church to be wary of false apostles, false teachers, and false doctrines, but more importantly, to emphasize that you can only know God through knowing his son, Jesus Christ. So what are three things that I want us to look at in this passage that we've read? These 11 verses. Three things: change, grow, and learn. Three things. Change. Can you repeat it after me? Change, grow, learn. If you forget the whole message, that's it. That's all. That's the message in a slide. The Christian journey requires a change to occur to your spirit. When that change occurs, then it places a demand on you to grow. And as you keep on growing, it is required for you to reflect on your growth processes, and that is learning. And the simple way to make sense of it, the first four verses of that scripture talks about how this change happens. The next three verses talks about what is expected to occur in the process of growth, and the last three verses then talked about how you can reflect on your growth processes. So Peter began by saying that grace and peace become yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And verse 3, he says that God's divine power has made lavish, has given unto us everything we need to lead a godly life. God's divine power. So how does this change happen? If we can have the next slide. The change happens through God's divine power. The agent of change is God's divine power. During the communion, my wife tried to help us remember what Jesus could do and what Jesus is still doing. Are you listening to me? God's power is real today. Why? Because Jesus is alive today. Jesus is alive today. He is alive today. God's divine power is able to bring about change. And what is the basis of this change? Because God made us not one, several great and precious promises. From Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, he said that the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. That was the first promise God made, saying even though man may have fallen and sinned and no longer able to come into your presence, I'm going to send a Savior, and through him everyone who wants this change can experience it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that he that believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is God's basis for this change. He's saying, I've made a promise and I'm keeping it. If you see the rainbow, it reminds you that the world will never again be destroyed by rain. Why? Because God made a promise. He made a promise, and he said that a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. So why do we know that this change is real? Because God said it, and God kept his word to it. How can this change occur in me? Through knowledge of his son, Jesus Christ. Verse 2, grace and peace be abundantly lavished to you through knowing God and Jesus, our Savior. Peter was specific, Savior. So you can experience this change by salvation, by surrendering your life to Jesus, by saying to Jesus, here I am ready to reconnect to God through you. For God's divine power has given unto us everything that pertains to life and godliness through what? The knowledge of Jesus Christ. And what is the effect of this change when you encounter this salvation that is available through Jesus? What happens to you? You begin to share in the life that Jesus gives. That's why 1 John chapter 5 says that this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son, Jesus Christ, has life. So you become participators, not spectators. Do you remember there was a Sunday, Monday, talked about spectators and participators? You are not a spectator. You do not go to the stadium to watch the 11. You are right there in the pitch playing the game. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to share. I'm saying that this change, the effect of this change is that you become a sharer in the divinity of God. That is to say, even though you are mortal, God now resides where? Within you. Where becomes the address of God? Heaven and inside of you. Because God comes with all of his glory and lives in your spirit. You begin to share in the nature of God. That is how the Holy Spirit is able to tell you things that is to come. That is how you begin to have words of knowledge about things you have never read about. Why? Because no man knows the spirit of a man except the spirit that is within him. Also, no spirit knows the things of God except the spirit of God. But what then happens? God now takes the spirit and puts inside of you to make you alive. That's what happens. That is the effect of this change. So that he that is joined to God becomes one spirit with him. So it means that God is now communicating with you, spirit to spirit. Oh, what a life. Somebody say amen. What a life. What a life. What is the agent of change? Is God's divine power through the Holy Spirit. What is the basis of change? That God has made this promise that I will send a Savior who is Christ the Lord. How can you participate in this change? By the knowledge of him. And what will this change bring about in you? He would bring to you participation in the divine nature of God. That's point number one. Point number two, grow. Remember I said three things. Number one was change. Number two, number three. What do you think would happen if a child is born and 10 years later that child is still sucking and still crawling? How would the parents feel? Of course, no one expects that. But imagine if that happens. You experience salvation, but you remain a suckling babe 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years. Doctors will say that that child has arrested development. They will begin to look for reasons to say learning disability, whatever, failure to thrive, stunted growth, malnutrition. We have to find a reason. Why? Because it is not normal for you to be given birth to and you do not grow. Growth is a natural response following birth. So if you have been born in the family of God, if you've experienced this change, God requires that you should what? God requires that I should, let's personalize it. God requires that I should. So growth becomes the inevitable outcome following birth. And that's why Peter says, because you have experienced this salvation through knowledge of Jesus Christ, make every effort. You make effort when you notice that that effort is going to lead to a result. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, goodness, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. Now, I'm not going to go into each of this because time would not permit me to do that, and it's beyond what I want to share this morning. But I want you to take a look at that. Can we have that next slide? What Peter is trying to say is, this change is brought about through the knowledge of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit that draws you to Jesus for you to submit your life to become a Christian. Now, it's also that same Holy Spirit that will help you to produce that evidence of growth. Why? Because your natural inclination will not be these. The natural man, as educated and as polished as he is, would tend to do things to suit himself, not others. But when the Holy Spirit becomes a part of your life. In fact, when your life becomes hidden in Christ, what then happens is that the Holy Spirit begins to help you to develop, to grow, and begins to bring forth these fruits that are antithetical to the carnal nature, fruits that are in opposition to what the carnal nature would naturally have. So you begin to see that no one chapter of the scripture, particularly in the New Testament, is exhaustive of the fruits. So I tried to bring a variety for you to see in the writings of Peter and Paul to various churches, a list. I know many of us are familiar with Galatians chapter 5, which is often referred to as the fruit of the Spirit. But there are other fruits or other virtues that the Holy Spirit expects. Now, I want you to take a glance, if you could see what's on the screen, and begin to ask yourself, are these virtues visible in my life? Can those who know me attest that based on my fruit, I am a child of God? Are these virtues? If you notice, you would see that love is mentioned in almost all of them. Yeah. It's mentioned in Colossians chapter 3, 12 to 16. It's mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. It's mentioned in our text, 2 Peter chapter 1. And it's mentioned also in Philippians 4:8. In fact, and that is to say that if you have that God kind of life, God kind of love, that is to say, as the Holy Spirit fills your heart with the love of God, and you choose to walk in the love of God, every other virtue will find expression in you. That's why Jesus summarized it by saying, here is the commandment. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In love is joy, in love is peace, in love is patience, in love is gentleness, in love is faithfulness, in love is self-control, in love is all. Paul would say, love is the greatest, or is the summation of all the commandments. That's why Paul, writing to the Corinthians church, would say, love is patient, love is kind. It does not vaunt itself. It does not. Love hopes the best. Love believes the best. Love suffers long. Love does this. Love does that. So I'm trying to say that if we allow the love of God grow in us, we would begin to experience the evolution, the development of all these virtues. We begin to experience the Holy Spirit producing patience with us, making us more patient. I remember when Reverend preached on patience a few months ago, making us be more tolerant, forbearing one another. You see, self-control is also mentioned in a number of them. And Philippians 4:8 would be like a yardstick to help you guide whether you are thinking the right thoughts. So it would say what things that are true, what things that are noble, what things that are right, what things that are pure, what things that are lovely, what things that are admirable. If there be any virtue or any excellence in it, and if it is praiseworthy, think on these things. So it helps you to know what are the kind of thoughts that I should allow to dwell in me over time. So growth is a function of feeding yourself in the Word of God, allowing the Holy Spirit to bring about the manifestation of this fruit. So the effort you need to make is not to make effort to be more loving. You can't as an individual. It is the Holy Spirit that would bring it to your awareness and say, this is what I think you should do. This is how you should go about it. You discover that each and every day, like Reverend referenced 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, as we behold Christ, we are changed from one level of glory to another level of glory. That's what happens. The Holy Spirit will begin to work in us. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. For it is God that is at work in us, both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. So you discover that the Holy Spirit will work in you to bring about any of these virtues that are lacking in you. So number one is change. Number two is what? Growth. And number three is learn. Learn. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, and that's talking to people who've been Christians for a long time, then you ask yourself, I've got all the qualities, so the message doesn't concern me. No, Peter was clear. He says, it is not enough to possess these qualities. What do you need to do? You need to possess them in increasing measure. So you don't ever stop becoming like Jesus until the day you see him face to face. So you don't stop saying, oh, I'm full of joy, and then that's where it ends. Yeah. It's interesting because Peter says it's possible for a Christian to stop having these qualities. In verse 9, he says, but whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. So what does that presuppose? It suggests that a Christian can be ineffective and unproductive if they refuse or if they become unwilling to learn. Let me repeat that. A Christian may become ineffective, if we can have the next slide, or unproductive. I'm using the words of the Bible, not my words. If they refuse to learn. So why is learning important in our Christian work with God? Because learning ensures ever-increasing growth. It means you never stop trying to be like Christ until he comes or until he calls you home. So your life becomes perpetually Christ-like. You never stop. You never stop. So you, if you are a worker, you can go on holidays. You can go on leave. There is no leave in Christ. There is no, let me take off my legs from the pedal for 6 weeks, then I'll come back in November and I continue where I stopped from. No, we don't go on annual leave in Christ. There is no holidays. It is your life. To take a holiday from Christ is to stop being a Christian. That's to stop being alive in God. So it's ever increasing growth. Why is learning important? Peter is trying to say, if you don't have these virtues ever increasing in you, what's likely going to happen is that you become nearsighted and blind. That is to say, you are unable to reflect. You are unable to introspect. I think Paul, writing to the Corinthian church in his second letter, he says, examine yourselves and consider whether you are still in Christ. Meaning it's possible to set out in Christ and then get deviated from Christ, get distracted from Christ, get backslidden from following Christ. So the second point about learning is to ensure continuous reflection. Does my behavior reflect that I live my life with eternity in view? Remember what Peter says. If you have all these in verse 10 and 11, you will never stumble and you will have a rich welcome into the glorious kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he is trying to ask us, does my behavior show how precious my salvation is to me? Does my behavior show that I still recognize that Jesus paid the price for my sins? Does my life reflect my progress on this Christian journey? Have I fallen away from my first love? I think the third point, learning, will help us understand it. It makes us open to correction. Peter would then say, if you do these things, you will never stumble. If you do these things, if, I remember from the little English language I was taught while I was in school, is used as a conditional phrase. If. That means if puts a responsibility on you and I. We don't necessarily fold our hands and assume it will happen automatically. Peter is saying, if you do these things, let the virtues of Christ emanate in our life, and we continue to grow in them, and we are open to learn where we make errors, where God corrects us through his word, where God corrects us through the message, where God brings something to light when we are praying. Are we able to say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry, help me to do better, unleash your grace upon me? That is the message this morning. Am I open to correction? Can God still correct me by speaking to me? Can God still correct me? Am I still able to hear the tender voice of God in my spirit? Can I still receive a rebuke from God's word when I read it? Am I still able to allow the Holy Spirit to point out areas in my life that requires more work? To conclude, God can change anyone. Regardless of your past, regardless of your history, regardless of your background, regardless of your race, regardless of your age, regardless of your disability, God can change anyone. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all you that are labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Learn of me, Jesus says. So salvation is the ultimate change that occurs in our spirit and makes us alive with God and able to partake in God's nature. But then after salvation, the onus is on you and I to make every effort to grow by submitting ourselves to the Holy Spirit, allowing him to produce the character of Christ and the virtues of Christ in our lives. And that will then culminate in our willingness to learn and to be discipled and disciplined by the Holy Spirit. Let's bow down our heads as we pray. I want you to take a moment and reflect on the things you've heard this morning. If you haven't experienced that change I talked about at the beginning, this is the right time to do so. You may be a church attendee, but you may not have given your life to Christ. Attending church is good, but giving your life to Jesus is what brings salvation. Is there anyone here who wants to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I want to make you my Lord and Savior. I want to experience this change this young man is talking about. Or maybe you are listening online. I want you to say with me, Lord Jesus, I receive your words today. I recognize that you are the way, the truth, and the life. I recognize that you are the only way to the Father. Therefore, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Accept me as your son. I put my faith in you. I declare that you are my Savior. I declare that you are my Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for accepting me as your child. From today, I am a child of God. In Jesus Christ's name. If you pray that prayer, please get in touch with us, whether you are here or at home. Let Reverend Neville know that you have made this decision to follow Jesus. And for all of us here, I want you to open your mouth, pray out loud if you wish, and say, Dear Holy Spirit, I want to continue to grow in my Christian work. I want to experience the character of Christ to become evident in my life. I want you to pray for yourself. Don't pray for me now. Don't pray for your neighbor. Pray for yourself and ask the Holy Spirit, help me to make progress in my Christian journey. Because Jesus is coming again. The world will end someday. Or maybe before Jesus comes, some of us may have been called home. So can you say, Dear Holy Spirit, help me to make things right with you. for some of us, are there things the Holy Spirit is asking you to learn, to reflect on, and we are refusing? Can you openly ask the Holy Spirit from today, enable me to learn the things you are communicating to me? I am sorry for being stiff-necked. I'm sorry for being hardened. Help me, Lord. And as you pray, can I just summarize with this word of prayer? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for having blessed us with your word this morning. We pray that as every one of us is on their individual track to make heaven, to meet Jesus on that great day that he would come, help us, O Lord, to continue to grow in our Christian faith. We submit our lives to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Christ, asking that you will pour your grace for holy living in our lives, asking that you pour your anointing for effectual Christian ministry in our lives, asking that the virtues and the character of Christ will become our experience. May we have the fruit, the gifts, and the administrations of the Spirit working through us. We pray also that you will help us to learn as your still small voice communicates areas into our hearts. Help us to be repentant. May we not, because we have been Christians for a long while, stop heeding to your voice. Help us to remain tender to the voice of God at all times. Thank you, Father, for having blessed us this morning. For in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We say.